This is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil. In response to widespread anger and large-scale protests in Hong Kong over a controversial bill to extradite residents to mainland China for trial, Leader Carrie Lam Saturday delayed indefinitely the proposed law.
The original urgency to pass the bill in this legislative year is perhaps no longer there.
And she discussed next steps for the proposal.
The council will halt its work in relation to the bill until our work in communication, explanation, and listening to opinions is completed. We have no intention to set a deadline for this work and promise to report to and consult members of the Legislative Council panel on security before we decide on the next step forward.
About 1 million people marched through Hong Kong last Sunday to protest the bill. According to organizers of the march, street demonstrations through the week were met with tear gas and rubber bullets from the police, plunging the city into turmoil. The extradition, which will cover Hong Kong residents and foreign and Chinese nationals living or traveling in the city, has many concerned that it may threaten the rule of law that underpins Hong Kong's international financial status. U.S. President Trump is publicly blaming Iran for this week's attacks on two oil tankers near the strategic Strait of Hormuz. AP correspondent Sagar Magani.
The president's making clear Washington blames Tehran.
Iran did do it.
But even as officials here at the Pentagon consider boosting defenses in the region, the president's hoping aggressive U.S. diplomacy will force Iran to the negotiating table. The administration seems caught between pressure to reassure Gulf allies by punishing Iran and avoiding getting closer to war. Acting Defense Chief Patrick Shanahan says the aim now is to rally the world to condemn Iran.
Build international consensus to this international problem.
Sagar Magani at the Pentagon.
And this is VOA News. A World Health Organization advisory panel decided Friday not to declare an international public health emergency over the Ebola outbreak in Congo and Uganda, saying that the criteria had not been met. Dr. Preevin Avitslan of the WHO said that the outbreak is localized enough that an international declaration was not necessary. However, he said more funds are needed to the DRC and other countries to fight the disease.
The international community must step up funding and support for the strengthening of preparedness and response in the Democratic Republic of Congo and the neighboring countries.
Authorities in Uganda, where two members of the same family died this week from the disease, have drawn up a list of 98 contacts or contacts of contacts potentially exposed to the Ebola virus. The WHO expert Dr. Mike Ryan told a news conference at the headquarters in Geneva only 10 are considered high risk. The previous figure was 27 Thursday. Major differences have surfaced between the United States and Guatemala over a proposed agreement to block Central Americans from seeking asylum in the U.S., dashing to the Trump administration's hopes for a quick resolution of talks. A three-member State Department delegation traveled to Guatemala in search of approval of a seven-page draft. The White House agreement that was meant to establish a safe third country protocol between the U.S. and Guatemala. Under the terms of the proposed deal, migrants fleeing persecution in El Salvador and Honduras would be forced to request asylum in Guatemala, a gateway to Mexico and the United States. U.S. Customs and Border Protection defends itself against complaints from immigration advocates that migrants at the southern border are being held in overcrowded conditions with intolerable temperatures and not enough food. We get more from AP correspondent Jackie Quinn.
The Border Network for Human Rights released a report based on testimonials from dozens of migrants, most of them held at an encampment in El Paso, Texas. They complain of being hungry, getting one burrito and one cup of water a day. Women denied hygiene supplies. Because of severe overcrowding, some are kept outside in cage-like conditions in 100-degree weather, sleeping in tents. One observer said it's like a dog pound. The report comes a day after an advocate found a teenage mother cradling a premature baby, still at a processing center. Homeland Security officials say many of the complaints could be resolved immediately if Customs and Border Patrol is notified. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
More at VOANews.com. I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.
This is a rebroadcast of the special program celebrating the life of the legendary VOA music man, Leo Sarkisian. He passed away June 8, 2018.
It's Music Time in Africa.
Hello, and welcome to Music Time in Africa. I'm Heather Maxwell from Washington. Today's program is unique. It's singularly dedicated to honor the memory and the music of a legend, Leo Sarkisian. Yes, it's finally happened. The father of Music Time in Africa, VOA's music man, passed away June 8th, 2018. He was 97 years old. Leo, always alongside his beloved wife, Mary, animated the homes and warmed the hearts of millions of African listeners for nearly 50 years with his music radio show, this radio show, Music Time in Africa. Join me in these next 55 minutes to honor and remember him. His life tells a fascinating story of a great man and nearly a century of African music history. He was born on January 4th, 1921 in Lawrence, Massachusetts, to Armenian immigrants. And even at a tender age, he demonstrated a propensity for the arts. In this interview, recorded a few years back while still residing in the Washington, D.C. area, Leo recalls his life story from the beginning.
Well, all during my childhood and my school days, I was an artist. I started drawing a lot of pictures, and it was recommended that I should continue following my career as an artist, and I did. I finally went to Vespage Art School in Boston and got my degree in fine arts and commercial arts. And then, of course, it was right after that that World War II broke out, and I volunteered and went into the Army as an artist. And I made a lot of sketches in addition to my work as a topographical artist. Well, my father played a little clarinet in our home when I was growing up. And I took the clarinet and I learned how to play it by myself. And when I was in high school, I entered the high school band. But all during those years, I was able to play with Armenian musicians who had immigrated at that time, and I just continued playing musical instruments. Immediately after World War II, I went to New York to work as an artist. Every evening, I would go to the New York Public Library, and I found books over there that had just what I was interested in. Various countries like Central Asia, China, Japan, and whatever I could find about the music of those countries. And I read and I read, and I just made up my mind that there was just still not enough information in the books. And I wrote a paper about that, saying that there was a gap of knowledge, and how interested I would be if I ever had the chance to go to Central Asia and to those countries and go further into learning about what type of music they were playing and what they thought of traditional music. Traditional music and folk music is earthy. So I was very fortunate that a friend of mine that had read my papers had sent it on to somebody they knew. And that's where the story begins. Somebody knocked on my door in my little room there in New York City. And there the door opened and the man said, "I'm Colonel Fogel. I'm from Tempo Records from Hollywood." And he said, "I'm interested in your work. Would you come to work for me?" And there, in those few seconds, I turned from one career to another, from art into music. But Colonel Fogel was preparing me with all that training. What he had in mind was to have somebody go into other countries and to begin recording music that he did not find in libraries here in this country. He furnished me with, at that time, the finest recording equipment, the microphones and the portable tape recorders. So we were able to go into very, very remote areas, areas that nobody had recorded before. The first country that I worked in with Tempo was Guinea. But to get to Guinea, my wife and I, we went first to Ghana. That was our first landing. Up to that time, nobody else was interested in recording the music of Ghana, the folk music. I worked with Radio Ghana for close to 1 year. And with the music director, we went all up and down in through the country, in the interior of Ghana, recorded quite a bit, and made copies of every recording that I had made. One copy went into the music library. And then from there, of course, my wife and I, in our Jeep with all our equipment, we drove up to the north, went up through Upper Volta, which today is the country of Burkina Faso, up into the country of Mali, and then across west into the country of Guinea. Originally, my boss, Colonel Fogel, said, record there about 8 months. But what happened was I stayed there for 3.5 years, thanks to the friendship that I had built with President Secretary. This was at a time when the French had left. The radio station was not working. All the equipment, the tape recorders and all, were broken down. None had been repaired. So my first job, I got the tape recorders all working. And in a short time, we got back on the air and playing Guinean music. President Secretary was, of course, so well pleased. And so he just kept me there to help, and this was very good for us. And my boss, Colonel Fogel, back in Hollywood, said, good. He says, get all the music that you can get. I was able to travel around to every region of Guinea to make recordings.
All right, hello, this is Heather Maxwell, and you've been listening to the voice of Leo Sarkisian from a 2012 interview recorded here at the Voice of America in Washington. Sarkisian passed away Friday, June 8th, at age 97. This whole program today pays tribute to him with a bit more of this interview where he tells his incredible life story, and then with selections of some of his best music and radio shows, fan mail, and some words from a few of his closest friends. Before we get back to Leo, though, let's enjoy a good oldie from his collection of African music, one of Leo's greatest legacies. This is Bombosi by Koulibaly Tidiane and Dafra Star from Bobo Jalasso, Burkina Faso. Bombosi le ye tonyini ye, Bombosi le ye tonyini ye, Bombosi nana kunzigi soro, Bombosi le ye tonyini ye.
Sayate masito na marakola. Sayate masito dendriya la sayate.
Okay, that was Koulibaly Tidiane and Dafra Stars from 1976 Burkina Faso. This is Music Time in Africa. I'm Heather Maxwell. Now, let's get back to Leo Sarkisian's narrative from 2012, explaining how it was that he came to work for the VOA in 1962 and became the music man and founder of Music Time in Africa.
And now here's Leo.
In 1961, Ed Morrow was appointed by John F. Kennedy as the director of the United States Information Agency. And Ed Morrow, you know, one of our television pioneers here in this country, had a great interest in Africa, far ahead of his time with a lot of other people. And his first trip as director of USIA, he came to Conakry, Guinea. He was welcomed by the president. That same day that he had arrived, the American ambassador brought him to our apartment. And they walked up six flights to the sixth floor where our apartment was. And my wife said, "I'll bet that he's going to be smoking the cigarettes." And true enough, the door knocked. We opened it, and Ed Morrow was just lighting up a cigarette and looked up at us, and he says, "I'm Ed Morrow. I'm here to meet Leo and hear all about your work." And that's how I get to know Ed Morrow. I found out later that he was a friend of Colonel Fogel back in Hollywood, and he had learned about from Colonel Fogel that I was in Africa recording music. And Ed Morrow, at that time, he said, "We have in mind to build the biggest radio station in Africa, and it'll probably be in Liberia, in Monrovia, and I'd like to have you come and join the Voice of America." He says, "Come to see me when I come back." Well, when we did go back to Hollywood, Colonel Fogel said, "Ed Morrow and I are friends. You have a job here, but the U.S. government has a need for you, and if you wish, you can join the Voice of America." And again, the door opened, and I walked in. It changed from one company, came to the Voice of America. But all that training that I had and experience, I made use of for the Voice of America. Right from the beginning, it was my mission that we were going to tell people about America, that we were also playing African music because we are interested in their cultures also from every country in Africa.
It's Music Time in Africa. Hello again and welcome back. This is Sue Moran, and today I have another program of traditional and popular music of Africa. We're going to visit the Islamic Republic of Mauritania today. This will be the first time we've presented Mauritanian music on our Music Time show. And to help me tell you about it, our Voice of America music man, Leo Sarkisian, will be joining us.
Well, in the first place, there are two main instruments played by the Moorish griots, the tidinet and the ardin. The tidinet, which appears to be reserved for men, is a four-string lute, and it sounds like this. It has a wooden sound box.
When we started broadcasting African music, there was a scarcity of music on recordings. Well, Liberia is a good example. Here is a country with 16 different major tribal groups, 16 major languages in the country, all of them with different types of music and musical instruments. People in other countries, for instance, people in East Africa had never heard Liberian music. They had never heard the music of the Ivory Coast. And people in West Africa had never really heard music of their brothers who were living out in East Africa or Southern Africa. So what we were doing was cross-reporting not only our news broadcasts of information, but we were also cross-reporting their own cultures. This, I think, contributed to the success of Music Time in Africa. And we know this from the hundreds of letters that we get from our fans, where listeners in Tanzania would say, "Oh, that was the first time we heard music from Liberia or from Guinea. Would you play more of that? That was almost similar to some of the music that we have." This was what we were all about.
Hello, lovely listeners. You're listening to a special tribute to the late Leo Sarkisian. I'm Heather Maxwell. Leo passed on June 8th, 2018. Here he is with Rita Rochelle from sometime back in the 1980s or 90s. I would say at the height of MTIA's success under Leo's reign. It's an abridged version of one of his classic 30-minute shows.
It's usually in this first edition of Music Time in Africa that our music man has examples of traditional sounds. He provides the old and the new, especially those wonderful sounds that have survived from one generation to the next, and they're still exciting to hear. Well, here's the music man, Leo.
All right, Rita. Thank you. And this evening, I'd like to begin with music from Cameroon, a country that has unusually large and rich variety of folk music and dances that are still being performed by the various ethnic groups. This first recording features music of the Bamoun. This is dance music by a large group of men and women. That recording of Bamoun dance music was made in the town of Fumban some years ago during a local festival. Another important ethnic group with their own distinctive style of music making is the Kom, who live in the northwest province of Cameroon. Their music is different in both rhythmic and vocal aspects, as you'll notice in this next recording. Metal gongs, rattles, and drums were the musical instruments accompanying the chorus of Bamoun men and women recorded some years ago in the northwest province of Cameroon. Well, no program of Cameroonian music can be complete without including an example of the wonderful xylophone music played by different regional folkloric troops. This example is the south central province of the country, and the dance music is from the ethnic group called Betty. That was xylophone music by a folkloric group of the Betty, who live in the south central part of Cameroon. In contrast to the music you just heard, this next recording also features a xylophone, but quite different in tone and construction. The instrument is the Madinda of Uganda. Ganda musicians make the xylophone by simply placing pieces of wood loosely onto banana stalks. In musical terms, we call this a loose note xylophone. In this recording, the Madinda is accompanied by five large drums that belonged in the royal court of a former king of Buganda. Thank you. Next, flute music of the Ankole. Let's see. I played music from Cameroon and Uganda. Now we'll have something completely different. Music from North Africa, from Algiers. I made this recording during one of my visits in North Africa.
Friends, it's happened again. I'm afraid that's it for this first edition of Music Time in Africa. However, we do have a second show, and Leo and I will be right back here in 1 hour and 30 minutes from now. So I strongly recommend you stay with us. Stay right there and listen to VOA's Africa service, because following is a report of the latest news. I'm Rita Rochelle, and as always, my friends, my love to all of you.
Now, some of you may remember this era with Rita and Leo, maybe even wrote letters to him. Leo kept them all and assembled the best quotes in monthly audience mail reports. From the month of March 1997, here are just a few. From Orlu, Nigeria. Dear Music Man Leo and Sister Rita, I wish to express my profound happiness over the manner you are projecting various artists from Mother Africa, especially the artists from Nigeria, Ghana, Zaire, and especially Cameroon, which featured prominently recently. In conclusion thereof, I thank you for what you're doing for us. Don't stop! From Cape Coast, Ghana, here's this. I listen every Sunday to Music Time in Africa because each program is something special. In fact, it seems very well planned so that people all over Africa can appreciate their culture. The poems being recited are quite inspiring. Do you know why I love listening to the Music Man? Through him, one is able to know how far our friends in other countries are progressing, either in the field of music, and science, and technology. This even inspires man to make much progress in his field. From Garissa, Kenya. Hey, Music Man and Rita, show a smile on your face, because we here in Kenya sure do love ya. I will also take time to comment on your special program on the folk music of Kenya, specifically Western Kenya. Everyone here got up to dance, singing your praises. It was sure a wow. Then you followed up with Taarabu music from Tanzania, our neighboring country. Thanks for turning us on. Now from Entebbe, Uganda, we have just formed our first Music Time in Africa fan club, 18 loyal members and more to join soon. We also take your recommendations seriously to listen to other programs, but we must admit they are difficult to understand because they speak too fast and not clear like you. That's why we love the Music Man and Rita. Are you both Africans? Don't stop being on the air. And one more from 1997, this time from Banjul, Gambia. I'm a secretary school teacher and have been using your Music Time in Africa programs for my classes for more than 2 years. So it's about time I tell you. I record them every Sunday at 17:30 and 19:30 GMT. The programs are uniquely educative and really the best source of information for us about the whole of Africa, about its cultural heritage, the different peoples, how they live, where they live, and how they think. Actually, we're getting free geography lessons. Thank you. You may be pleased to know I distributed the American Constitution booklets you sent. So these letters go on and on, month after month, but we have to move on. So let's go to a couple of Leo's closest friends. Dr. Kelly Askew, a longtime friend and cohort in ethnomusicology, also the director of African Studies Center and professor of anthropology and Afro-American and African studies at the University of Michigan. She sneaks off to a quiet corner of a cafe in Ann Arbor to talk with me about Leo and his layers of legacy. How and when did you first meet Leo?
I met him in 1996 I was invited as a graduate student to attend an African music conference here at the University of Michigan, and he was here. He was apparently a regular at all events having to do with African music, and I was panicked because it was my first professional presentation of my dissertation work, and so I must have stayed up late preparing, and the next morning, waiting for my turn, listening to other presentations, I was nodding off, and I felt a tap on my shoulder, and I looked up. Here's a man I've never set eyes on in my life, but smiling, and he offered me a cup of coffee, saying, "I think you need this." And we've been friends ever since.
You have followed him now over decades, and you two are, to me, seem like you have a family relationship, like daughter-father kind of thing.
It feels like it, yeah.
So what was the glue with that relationship between the two of you?
I think it was a shared love of African music, what it boiled down to, and being enough interested to spend time to get to know music in context with the people that produce it and live in communities. Leo always said that you have to be with people before they play their best music for you. You have to hang out with them, dance with them, participate in their events, and then only after that, after they've come to accept you as a friend, will they play their best music for you. I used to laugh at people who would parachute in and do recording tours and not spend time to get to know anybody. And he would tell a story about some French ethnomusicologist who played a recording for him that's so proud of having procured in some remote African community, and turned out it was an American folk song, this rendition, you know, that they were playing for the white person, thinking that's what the white person wanted to hear. And this guy was French, so he didn't recognize it as an American folk song, but it was like, "She'll be coming around the mountain," or something like that. And he's like, "And that's exactly why you can't just parachute in and expect them to play nice things for you."
She'll be driving 6 foot horses when she comes. She'll be driving 6 foot horses.
What do you think his biggest legacy is in the field of ethnomusicology?
There's a couple layers of answer to that. First is that there is in his collection, as you know, something on the order of 360 field recordings. Not all of them are collected by him, but a large number are. And the rest, I think, are part of his legacy, which is that he went on behalf of the U.S. Information Service to newly independent countries in Africa and helped develop expertise in audio recording so that people could go out and do their own field recording for ultimate broadcast on their own national radio stations. So he was very big on trying to build that level of capacity and have people go out and do their own field recordings of their own cultural traditions. And part of this collection is copies sent to him from these radio stations. So you find in the collection Radio Comoros or Radio Tanzania, Radio Rural from Burkina Faso, where the people that he trained, out of thanks to him for having done that, would send him copies of their recordings. So you have these original field recordings in part by Leo, but unlike the other major pioneers whose names are known amongst ethnomusicologists like Hugh Tracy or Gerhard Kubik, who did their own recordings themselves, or Boxman, Leo spread knowledge of how to do high-quality recording so that others could do it as well. And so the collection that he left us has not only his recordings, but those of the people that he taught. And then there's another layer of recordings sent by fans of his radio show, Music Time in Africa, who would say, "Here's a cassette of music from my village. Will you play it on your show one day?" So it's a grassroots collection, unusual in that regard amongst African music collections. And then you've got on top of that, Music Time in Africa, 53 years of that show. And that show had the effect of bringing African music to Africans across the entire continent. So, you know, a key feature of the shows was that most shows had music from multiple countries. This was one way of also connecting people in a sort of Pan-Africanist manner, not intentionally, not ideologically driven, but nonetheless having that effect of connecting people on the continent and through their music.
All right. Hi, peepas. That was Dr. Askew, ethnomusicologist and longtime friend of Leo Sarkisian. This is Heather Maxwell, and you're in the middle of a unique, very special tribute to the VOA Music Man.
beru agba ni o tele ipe bomode ba teri ba fagba abagba je ni mu wi be kun soro ba ja ba ni ko gbenu lo ariwo ala
ologun ni sire pade
ariwo.
As you know by now, Leo founded this music program, Music Time in Africa, in 1965. But in 2004, ethnomusicologist Matthew Lavoie joined Leo at the VOA to help him write and produce. Here, Matthew shares his thoughts about Leo by phone from his home in Rabat, Morocco.
Well, I first met Leo in 1998, and I had gone to a conference at the Society for Ethnomusicology, and I'd go to all the panels on African music, and all of the scholars would be discussing and networking, and there was this one small, short, rather, older gentleman who, the only people that were paying attention to him were all the African scholars. And it sort of piqued my curiosity. I just went up to him and I, you know, introduced myself. And at the time, I was preparing to do research in Islamic Republic of Mauritania. Leo was the very first person I'd ever spoke to that, when he asked me what my research was about, and I mentioned Mauritania, he immediately said, "Oh, I went there in 1973, as opposed to what people typically say, which is, "Oh, Mauritius must be a very interesting country." What I think most marked me about Leo and what he gave me was just his commitment and his enthusiasm. Leo would arrive at the Voice of America at 2 a.m. in the morning and work till about 8 a.m. and then or 9 a.m. and he'd go home. And he chose those hours because it was the only way for him to avoid Washington, D.C. traffic, which is absolutely catastrophic. And so I would come in the early morning and Leo would be finishing his work day. And often I'd go down to his office and we'd talk a little bit and we'd end up often in the archives and I have so many memories of, I would be looking for some music to use in the week's show and I would just put on a reel and Leo would just stop everything he was doing and just focus intently, he'd just close his eyes and the more the music played, the more he would turn up the volume. So very soon the music was just really, really loud and Leo would just be screaming at me, "Isn't this great? Isn't this great?"
That was Dr. Matthew Lavoie from Morocco, another ethnomusicologist and longtime friend. I'm Heather Maxwell. You're listening to Music Time in Africa, a special tribute to Leo Sarkisian, who passed away June 8, 2018. Here's just one among thousands of recordings that Leo made in Africa, always thoroughly and precisely indexed and cataloged. This folk song's from Ethiopia.
Selection number 2. Mela Mela.
You're listening to Africa through its own music. Stay locked in right here on Music Time in Africa.
All right, now it's time to bring Kwame in for a listen to one of my favorite Leo recordings and read some current audience mail on social media, of course, from our Facebook followers. Kwame Asante Ofori.
Hey, 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 everyone.
How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine. So this is not actually Song of the Week, but we are doing this tribute for the late Leo Sarkisian. And
yes.
Yeah, and I did choose one song that I really love that is part of the tribute.
Indeed.
And so, everybody, what we're doing is we're going to listen to this song that I chose, and then Kwame and I are going to continue a little bit more talking about Leo and reading some listener messages and memorials to Leo.
Yep.
So the song that I chose is an unreleased 1965 Fela Ransom Kuti song that Leo recorded when he was living in Liberia and did one of his field recordings, traveled to Nigeria, and went into a studio and recorded this before Fela really had found his Afrobeat sound.
That's beautiful for Fela to allow him to enter his studio to record. And it's unreleased? That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a VOA original recording.
Indeed.
So the song is called Magbeye Moi.
Okay, that sounds interesting.
Here we go.
Track two, take two. Magbeye Moi. Oh, sereni mi mioche, ma promi. Oh, sereni mi mioche, ma promi. Yami niti mama she, shobo. Babame niti mama she, shobo. Yami ni shokuku, bani sa o. Oh, sereni mi, ma bonyo. Ha 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 ho ho ho. Oh, sereni mi, ma bonyo. Oh, sereni mi, ma bonyo. O sereni mi magbonya wa o ha 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 o sereni mi magbonya wa o pap de bala lo pap pap de bala lo o sereni mi magbonya wa o o sereni mi mioche ma komi o sereni mi mioche ma komi ya mi niki mama she o sopa o baba mi niki mama she o sopa o
was
Fela Ransom Kuti from 1965 with the unreleased song Magbeyemwa, recorded by Leo Sarkisian.
Oh, yeah, that is some African history right there, recording with Fela. Oh, my goodness. Now, we have this from David Musa, who is in Abuja, Nigeria.
Which is a place I'm going to.
Oh, yes, and a team I'm supporting during this World Cup.
All right.
And he says, the first time I heard Leo Sarkisian on Music Time in Africa, I said, oh, African local music can be heard worldwide now. Leo has shown me that some people have Africa in their minds. And he had traveled to so many countries in Africa. My regards to all lovers of Music Time in Africa. Thank you all and God bless you. God bless you too, Mr. David Musa.
Franklin M. Parm from Abuja, Nigeria said this. May the soul of Leo Sarkisian, the creator of Music Time in Africa over the airwaves of VOA, rest in peace. I'm one of the first listeners of this program, which started in 1965, the year I bought my shortwave transistor radio.
This is an old person.
Love it. Mm-hmm. That was when VOA broadcast strength was 5 out of 5, as if the transmitter was at my backyard.
Wow.
Thank you. Oh, I'm going to read this one, too, because this is Jehu Martin from Charlottesville, Virginia, where I spent time before I came here. Mm-hmm. He wrote this. He was one of the reasons I was able to hear African music when I was younger. Then one day I saw Miriam Makeba in concert and I thought I had to learn Xhosa as soon as possible. We all owe Leo Sarkisian a debt of gratitude.
Indeed we do. And then we have this from Ken Braun, a brother from Accra, Ghana. So he says, I grew up listening to Leo Sarkisian in Ghana. And as an adult living in Zaire, I tuned in to his show faithfully. He was an important cultural ambassador indeed.
Yes, he was. Mm.
And one of our very own, Jody Kapwa, who retired recently, who lives in Frederick, Maryland, says, I'll miss you, my friend. I met Leo before I started working at The Voice of America. He lived across the street in Aspen Hill, Maryland.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He was looking at my Suzuki Samurai and we got to talking. We later met at Voice of America and told each other, you look familiar. Great musician and artist and a wonderful man.
Oh, that's really nice. Thank you, Joe. Now, Sonny Young, another VOA colleague, as you know,
from the sunny side of sports. Oh, yes.
He wrote, a true Renaissance man, artist, musician, broadcaster, and friend. One of a select few to have a studio named in his honor at our Voice of America headquarters in Washington, D.C. He traveled to every African country and recorded music in each of them. A wonderful legacy. Rest in peace, Leo.
That's amazing. That's very beautiful.
And also Jimmy Cook from Lusby, Maryland wrote this. Oh, my Lord! !3 times. Leo was one of those people you wish would never die. He was always so resourceful, the sweetest disposition of anyone you would ever know. He blessed my life so many times in so many ways. I actually look forward to seeing him on the other side of his life. R.I.P. Blessed. Peace, Leo, my brother. All my best blessings and wishes for his family and friends.
That is beautiful. And we have our last one from Douglas Patterson. He says, I remember Leo and Rita fondly, listening to the program on Voice of America when I lived in Western Kenya in the 1970s. I sent them an aerogram letting them know I enjoyed the show and got back a nice glossy print of Leo and Rita that stayed with me for many years. Thank you, Leo, for your devotion to African music and the joy you provided countless listeners over the many years.
Beautiful. And that's it for this part of the tribute. Thanks so much for joining me, Kwame.
You're always welcome.
Well, it's about time to say goodbye, darlings. It's hard to let go of Leo, but I think you'll agree he's lived a full life and he's left us all a beautiful African music legacy. I leave you with one final thought from Leo, who at this moment was referring to his final retirement from the VOA at age 91 in 2012.
After working all through Africa all these years also, my life has been exactly like an old African proverb. And the proverb is, when door open, go in. And that's, my whole life has been like that. When Colonel Fogel knocked on my door in New York and offered me to work with him, there was a door and it was open for me and I walked in. My life has just been like that, right up till the Voice of America, when Ed Morrow came and knocked on my door in Conakry, Guinea, and there it was. Knock on the door, door open, I walked in. And right now, I've completed my whole life of walking in doors. Now, I told my wife, I says, I'm knocking the door of our home, and this is it. I'm coming in.
Subi, subi, yeah, subi, ani, nyonya, nyonya.
And that concludes today's special edition of Music Time in Africa in honor and memory of Leo Sarkisian. I'm Heather Maxwell. Thanks for joining me. And thank you all who contributed to today's special program. Writers of Audience Mail from 1997 and from today, Drs. Kelly Askew and Matthew Lavoie, Banning Air of Afropop Worldwide, and VOA's Kwame Ofori, Sage McLeod, and Robert Apio. If you're listening to your local FM station, mark the time they air MTIA and let them know how much you love us. If you're listening on shortwave, be sure to tune in again, peeps, every Sunday and the following Saturday at 9:05, 15:05, and 20:05 Universal Time, GMT. I'm Heather Maxwell. Stay blessed, Africa. Ya no more go go bene ya no more. Ya no more go go bene ya no more. Oh go go bene ya no more. Manu wo ata na o. Go go bene ya no more. Manu wo ata na o. Yala ga o yala bi yo jere for ye. Yala ga o yala bi yo jere for ye. Ya no more go go bene ya no more. Ya no more go go bene ya no more. You girl I love you, I gave you my heart oh. You girl I love you, I gave you my heart oh. Go tell your mama, he says he love me. Anything she says, same thing I'll do. Ya no more, go go bene ya no more. Ya no more, go go bene ya no oh, let me sing a pele, for go go bene to hear me. Let me sing a pele, for go go bene to hear me. Baby talk pele, baby smiles in pele, baby walks in pele, baby sleeps in. Bravo, bravo, go go bene, baby go ya. Open this door, go go bene, puto ito like it. Ya no more, go go bene, ya no more. Ya no more, go go bene, ya no more.